This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. And this segment, I'd like to bring back to the Radio Cafe Marina La Palma. She is our book reviewer here on the Radio Cafe. The segment is called Booked Up. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk about the book, the novel American Gods by Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman is a masterful storyteller who uses language beautifully. Gaiman is the author of Coraline, Anansi Boys, and the Sandman graphic novel series. American Gods was written at the end of the 1990s by this English, that's his word, author, who lived for most of the 90s in the United States, which he refers to exclusively as America, partly to emphasize its mythic quality. I happened to read American Gods in the form of the paperback 10th anniversary edition, so it came with plenty of supporting material, useful framing devices and viewpoints, with the author's foreword, afterword, postscripts, appendices, and complex acknowledgments and interviews. It comes in at a chunky 541 pages, of which I found every bit worth reading. In American Gods, we have deities, totems, and fetishes from various traditions and groups, far flung in time and space. We have Ishtar and Kali, Wotan in the form of Mr. Wednesday, transplanted African Loas, and the long-forgotten idols of bands of people crossing a land bridge 14,000 years ago to North America. Everyone carries their own gods with them. Also, there are the dead and various types of ghosts. We all know that gods may take many forms. If we use the broadest possible definition, we can say that a god is a force that we perceive to be vastly more powerful than ourselves, and thus controlling the things that happen to and around us. Thus would ancient people have personified the wind or fire, the waters or various animals, and of course the sun and the seasons. Today, in our society, money, abstract value, is the most powerful force we can observe. This is woven into and cheekily sabotaged in Gaiman's vision. An exchange of money in this story is an exchange of meanings and promises. You may remember a South African movie from around 1980 called The Gods Must Be Crazy, where a tribesman sets out from his Kalahari desert home on a quest to return to the gods a Coke bottle that fell out of a small airplane. The glass bottle is causing strife among his people, so he's returning it to its rightful owners. He figures they must have dropped it from the sky by accident, for why would the gods abandon such a beautiful and valuable object? The Gods Must Be Crazy was a lovely fable of radically different worldviews confronting one another uncomprehendingly, with beauty and value up for reevaluation. In American Gods, multiple worldviews crash against one another and set off sparks and deep tremors. The central character is called Shadow. He's a true protagonist, brave and imperfect, a toy in the hands of fate. He suffers tremendously. Traveling across and around a sprawling land of roadside attractions and diners, motels and gas stations, con games, shootouts, and raptures, engulfments, don't ask, deaths, resurrections, Shadow undergoes mythic experiences amid a trainload of characters from decentralized casting with weird behavior and weirder beliefs. And what is America if not a huge mix of people who came here from somewhere else and brought along their gods, which had sprung from their native soil but traveled well? Their ghosts and their multiple contradictory beliefs. Gaiman shows us how the present is drenched in the past, how culture is carried in blinks and postures, in rhythms and accents, in people's skins and their unremembered memories. Strange things are constantly happening in American Gods, and the reader watches them unfold with the hovering sense that they're part of some imminent meaning about to explode just around the corner. The gods are great, a shaman says, but the heart is greater, for it is from our hearts they come, and to our hearts they shall return. She herself utters this prophecy in a chapter set some 14,000 years ago, from inside a mammoth skull that her tribe carries with it and worships. It is partly for this startlingly modern insight, or blasphemy in the context of the book, that the shaman is doomed not to make it into the promised land on the other side of the Bering ice sheet with her group. As Shadow is repeatedly told, he must have faith, though in what is never said. This evoked several diverse things for me. One is the powerful title of a poem by Israel's most famous poet, Yehuda Amichai, an atheist. Gods change, but prayers are here to stay. And then, maybe incongruously, that there were said to be three essentials for Zen practice. First, great faith. Second, great doubt. Third, great determination. If all three are present, we would be more likely to miss the ground with a hammer than we would be to miss enlightenment. Shadow prays quite a bit, and he possesses all three of these essentials. After all his extreme trials, he does achieve a kind of apotheosis. Straddling genres, the novel American Gods is a road trip, an immigrant experience, a thriller, a fantasy, like America, which author Neil Gaiman insists is bigger than you are and just as full of contradictions. Don't miss it.
Marina La Palma, thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for that book review.
Thank you.
Booked Up is a regular, irregular segment here on the Radio Cafe. Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.